Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Good Saturday to you. It's KJ and Chime, a special edition. Thank you so much for being here on WEEI 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Chime, in a couple of minutes, I will joke about that, is the fastest BC post game in the history of BC and probably in the AD years. But that's Gerard Mayo saying, look, I guess that's journalism with this mutiny gate that people are talking about, but it's not real. Do you think this is an indictment on people just trying to go too fast with the story?
No, absolutely not. Like, this is, I mean, look, it's a team employee. It wasn't just some guy. It wasn't like me in the locker room making this statement. It was a team employee on a podcast saying this. Like, this is not somebody this is somebody just reacting to what they're seeing with their own two eyes. I don't even think it's like them reporting on something someone told them. It's just them reporting on something they saw with their own two eyes. And I think that's as real as it gets.
A team employee, right? So, you know, our snack machine, right? Like, some, you know how you, like, it's kind of like an honor system. Like, you're supposed to take.
Exactly.
Like if someone had to come change the machine, do you think some random in the building could say, hey, tell me what it's like in there with Greg Hill and Shime and all those guys? I mean, he's a company employee. You see what I'm saying? Like, there are some people who can tell you and they know and they won't tell you. And then there's some people who perceive to know and they really can't tell you. Like, there's nobody that told him that said, hey, man, there's a problem with this and that. And that's not, you know, even though you're an employee, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, but like, I give Lazar a little bit more credit than that, right? Like, he's been in this locker room now for probably at least 5 years, from what I understand. Like, he's been with the team, like, as a quote unquote team employee for a little while now. And if it really wasn't an issue, why would they take it off their YouTube? Why would they make that stuff private? Like, that's.
Oh, so we're silverhatting now?
Well, yeah, that's a bad look by the Patriots. Why are you editing the content? Like,
because
if it's what
it's
a guy
not
saw.
True. Maybe if it's not true.
But it's not. It's not like a report. It's what he saw with his own eyes. So it's an opinion. So you're now you're curbing people's opinions. Like, you're telling them what they can and can't have an opinion on.
Well,
I don't
he
think
said
that's
there's
right.
a mutiny. Now, if you would have to literally see a mutiny, and was there a mutiny? Has anybody else reported that there was, you know, like, loud shouts in the locker room? Like, did anybody else report that?
No, but we've seen it on tape. Wide receivers outright having tantrums on the field.
Okay, but that's on the field.
And Pop Douglas has said it in the locker room, like, yeah, I need to get the ball more. He's done that already.
Okay, but that's a mutiny? That's just, like, a mutiny says to me, like, there's one side of the ship and there's another side of the ship. And on that ship, one side is trying to throw the other one off. That's why I think it's taken down, because the word mutiny implies that, hey, people are trying to throw people off the boat or the train or whatever mode of transportation you want to use, where it's just like, if there's someone who's unhappy, then say who's that is unhappy.
Yeah,
if you see something on the field, you see, hey, this is what I saw on the field. But when you say there's a mutiny in the locker room, that's a problem.
Yeah, look, I don't think that that's a problem. Like, I think you're taking the word too strongly. Like, it's like, I hear what Devon Godshaw said on our station with Jones and Keefe earlier in the week, where he goes, guys are being selfish. That's coming directly from the mouth of a player. And
right,
so
but,
if there's
but,
guys
but
being
what?
Selfish and there's guys unhappy with that, to me, that is an issue. That is collision
of
heads.
But did Lazar's report, when he said, is what he saw in the locker room, and it was a mutiny, and he didn't mean to be hyperbolic, but he used the word mutiny. So if Devon Godshaw comes on the station and says, hey, these guys are being selfish, okay, that's fine. That still doesn't say there's a mutiny. A mutiny, if you said, I've seen a mutiny, that's equivalent to me saying, hey, man, I saw fisticuffs break out in the locker room. Right.
But he didn't outright say that there's a mutiny. Like, he said it was, like, approaching a mutiny. And that's what it feels like. And that's, and I don't, I think he's totally in his rights to say that.
Oh, gosh. But here's the thing. And I know this is what people are taking issue with, is they feel like there's a censorship thing going on. And I would say
100%
this.
100% there is.
If you're wrong, like, okay, like, do
but
we
he's not
right.
It's an opinion. You can't be wrong on an
Shine,
opinion.
Do we not go through all these different portals about legalese and being correct on certain things and what you, it's not what you say and you can't say, but how you may be liable for something if you do not do it correctly. Do we not go through these portals here? Right, because
KJ,
we have attorneys.
Like, if I'm at the Patriots lock, if I'm in the Patriots locker room, if I'm Phil Perry or Tom Curran or Andy Hart or Megan Ottolini, and I am at the Patriots game and I'm in the locker room, and to me it looks like they are bordering on mutiny, and I say that, that's not wrong. So just because he works for the team and says that and it's his own opinion doesn't mean he's wrong.
If you say disagreements,
yes,
nobody
to remove that.
If he says, I see there are disagreements going on in the locker room, I bet you it doesn't come down. It's the word mutiny, and it, everything is it within the word.
But then that means people are being too sensitive, because he's like,
Wait.
Mutiny is not this horrid thing. It's not like he was like doing something that's an absolute no-no. Like,
is like saying, okay, person is found not guilty, and someone says, yeah, but you know they're guilty. They're not guilty. So you cannot use a word mutiny saying that people are trying to overthrow, because that implies an overthrow.
Yeah, but we're not on a ship and people still use the word mutiny. Like, come on, stop being so literal.
Here's the thing. If it wasn't so literal, then it wouldn't have been taken down, right? So why is it a problem taking it down? If you get the word, if you say
because
there's a disagreement,
censorship.
If you no, it's not because if you because
yes,
it's,
it
it's the use of the wrong word.
It's the use of the wrong word. KJ though, like it's an opinion. It wasn't a report. It was an opinion from a guy that just happened to work from the team. If Andy Hart had that opinion, EEI wouldn't make him take it down. Tom Curran basically said it on the station. He said it to the afternoon show. He said, "Yes, I would agree. They are bordering on mutiny," and they didn't remove that from the airwaves. Like that's called censorship, because you're too sensitive to what somebody said about you.
I think it's just a bad attempt at trying to go for the bang in social media, and you got
but like
banged
Tom
yourself.
Curran confirmed it on our station.
Look, there's no skin on Tom Curran because it's already been said. You see what I'm saying? Like, if someone already went with that word,
but
now
he agrees with it.
Now you're reporting on what a person was saying. You're not the first person leading out the box with it. If you're the first person leading out the box with it, and
Tom
the team
Curran
says,
said it before he did.
The
Andy
team
Hart
says
asked him on Thursday afternoon.
Before Lazard said it? Nobody said it before Lazard said it.
Andy Hart specifically asked Tom Curran, does it feel like there could be a mutiny? And Tom Curran says, yeah, it feels like we're bordering on mutiny.
So where does Lazard fit in this? So then he says it?
Lazard said it later that night. Like, that's when the clip at least started coming around, was later that night.
Well, your employer can do what they want to you. You know that.
Of course they can. But as somebody who doesn't work for the team, I could call them out for being sensitive.
Yeah, I don't know if it's being sensitive. I think
it is. Very sensitive.
Well, here's the thing. So what are people going to do about it? Right? What are you ultimately going to do about it? Is there a demand to put it back up? No. Has anything changed? Has this team put the soundbite back up?
No.
Okay, then. So do you now? Here's the other question. Is be honest with you. You think Lazar's on a little bit of a watch right now with the employer? I didn't ask you if he shouldn't be. I said, do you think he is?
Sure, he is. Okay. Who cares? But that's somebody being sensitive. Like, he didn't say anything bad. He didn't say like the Patriots are so frugal. It's embarrassing. Like, he didn't trash the organization. He's talked about what he saw in the locker room, and then they went and took it down.
617-779-7937. Text line 37937. KJ and Sean. We've jumped right into the pool I see about
coming
this.
Coming in hot and heavy. I like
this. Well, here's the thing. And I said this because I sent this message to someone else in Boston media, and I told them not to respond. I said, if you did this, what do you think happens to you? It's a rhetorical question. We know the answer is either suspended or fired. Or even worse than what happened. It wouldn't just be a retraction. It would be like, you know, KJ's no longer employed with the company. So I think it depends on who's the lens that sees it through. Like, you feel like, hey, there should not be any type of censorship whatsoever. And I would say, as a private entity, if I'm your employer and you're speaking on our behalf in some regard, I am going to have some type of say. What goes out, like, full disclosure, I did a parody on this station. After I did the parody, can you pull it down from digital? Absolutely. I didn't have a problem with it being censored, or I didn't see it as censorship or anything like that. I just saw it as this is a relationship that exists. It was a great parody about Bill Belichick at the time. But it's pulled down. You don't have access to it. I never be like, oh my God, that's censorship. If I sit there and say, no, that's my right and it's my absolute chance. Like, okay, Lazard, he did that podcast on whose website?
Patriots.com.
Okay, yeah. So they can have a right to determine what goes on their site and what doesn't.
Yeah, but at the same time, KJ, for everyone who saw it and heard it, like, it was nothing awful. Like,
that's what you decide, but if the employer thinks it's something different, they can make that call. If he does
sure,
it on his
they can,
if he did it on his own YouTube channel, I would say
disagree.
Yes, okay.
KJ, I don't disagree that they have the right to take it down, but that also gives me the right to rip them for taking it down. Like, that's you being set. That's them being sensitive. Like, what are you doing?
He's not
ripping the organization.
So
he's just talking about what he saw.
In 2 weeks, if they decide to fire you, do you believe it's retribution, or you think it's just a business call that they can make?
If it came out that they fired Lazar, like, within the next week or two, yes, that's retribution.
They're a private organization.
Yes,
stop. If he's fired in 3 weeks, hey, you know what? They have that right. Would they not?
Sure, they have the right, but it's still retribution. Like, that is 100% retribution. They are unhappy.
Did I feel that portal on the job? No,
which is literally nothing bad. Like, WEEI's bordering on mutiny.
If you ripped Mike and Ken right now on the air.
We rip Ken every day.
Okay, that's fine, but it's in joking, right? But if you rip Mike and Ken for some type of decision that was made, and you were later let go, do you think censorship is going to keep you in the argument, or do you think the right as a private entity will be able to make a decision of what is being done on the airwaves or
KJ,
on the site that we oversee?
See, this is the issue is we agree that, like, if I say something bad about my bosses, they have the right to let me go.
Right.
But that also gives the people outside of the company the right to rip them for letting me go.
Okay, yeah, I have no problem ripping them.
That's what I'm doing.
Much are they going to pay them when they get let go?
Who cares?
If I had a mortgage and a car note and everything like that.
They could give Lazar the greatest, if they ended up firing him over this, they could give him the greatest severance package known to mankind, and I would still rip the crap out of them, because that's embarrassing.
617-779-7937, text line 37937, join the conversation, KJ and Shyam on WEEI. Good Saturday.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ready to you. KJ and Shyam, WEEI, good Saturday to you. We're here a little bit early because BC not only laid it down, but Shyam, maybe we have a solution about Thomas Castellanos. Maybe he just spends the rest of the year, you know, hanging from one of those bars, stretching his arms out, because he's Skilo. I wish I was a little bit taller.
Yes, he does. He wishes he was a little bit taller. Maybe he wishes he was a baller.
Right. But, I wouldn't be throwing off picks to guys who are taller, you know?
And it's tough because he started so hot. I think he started 9 of 9. They were up 7-0. I mean, they go up 14-0 and then allowed 24 unanswered points.
Yeah,
like,
never.
That's not great.
Never in the history of BC postgame have those dudes split out quicker. Usually they would still be going poetic, but they're here. Like, so that's why Shyam and I are on early.
Yes,
you just heard the cut from Evan Lazar that is called now Mutiny Gate. And this is about the comments that he said about what he saw in the locker room. Shyam thinks that, look, the team is being sensitive because they took the comments down. I said, look, You don't kiss a mob boss's ex-wife in the mouth in front of the capos just because it's the ex-wife. Like, you're not going to get whacked still. So, yeah, I just think the problem is Lazard did it in the wrong place. And, yeah, that's why you pull it down. 617.
Yeah, that's very different, I think. He's teetering.
Okay, that's teetering. You kiss a mob boss's ex-wife in the mouth in front of the... You're teetering on getting killed.
Say teetering on mute, and he's like giving her a kiss on the cheek. A little bit different.
Either way, you don't kiss the mob boss wife at all.
You're just trying to be polite. That's all.
Then you say hello, you know, or you disagree. That's the word you use. Let's go to Mike in New Hampshire. Mike, jump in the conversation with KJ and Shime here on WEEI.
Shime, I don't know how you do it. Monday through Friday, putting up with Courtney sometimes in the morning, and now with this guy on the weekend, Shime deserves a raise. KJ, it's reporting. The guy's doing his job. How do you not understand that?
Wait, so if go to your employer and then say, you know what? I think the CEO, there's a mutiny going on around here. You think you on a podcast at your job, do they take it down? And you're now wearing a scarlet letter that's invisible.
It's the butt of the Patriots media staff. His job is to report to us what he sees. Good on him.
Mike, thanks for the call.
I agree with Mike. Like, he's doing his job. Like, he sees that the team is teetering on mutiny. He's not saying there's an outright mutiny. He's not saying, like, Gerard Mayo is up against an entire squadron of players. He's saying the team feels like they're teetering on mutiny, because of what's going on.
Mutiny implies an overthrow. Like, there is an attempted overthrow. You don't just, like, you know what word you don't joke around during elections is the word coup. Now, you might say it feels like something's going on, but you throw that word out there, knock, knock, we'd like to talk to you. Sean in New York, thanks so much for making the long-distance call to KJ and Shime on WEEI. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'd understand if Lazar was one of these former athletes turned journalists where they're not so good with the words, not so good with the English, but mutiny has an emotional implication to it. And no kidding, they're going to be frustrated in the locker room after a defeat, after the second ugly week of performance, and he's in the locker room at the peak of the height of emotions. Yeah, no kidding, things are going to be intense, and they're going to be frustrated. And guess what? They're a young team. They don't know how to handle frustration correctly. So a Pop Douglas should be the hallmark of how to handle frustration? Come on, ever, Mr. Lazar, you got to do better than that. Totally unimpressed with that reporting. And Shime, you're too much of a homer for this guy. Once again, journalists coming to support journalists. I'm done.
Sean, thank you for the call. See, Sean is right. Sean is right.
Like, Sean's not right at all.
Wait, what do you mean? Like, choice of words. How you use, like I just said in the last break.
What words did you want him to use?
I mean, you can't use anything that implies an overthrow. What is a mutiny?
Yeah, because if the receivers are pissed because they think the Ferrari is stuck in the garage in Drake May, and so they
And what happened to Jalen Reagor? What happened? Just by chance, what happened to him?
Yeah, he got his ass cut.
Okay, now, has anybody picked him up?
I don't know. That's a good question.
The answer is no. So in other words, there are potential repercussions when you try and get cute with your employer, whether it be on the interwebs.
Wrong.
Okay, but there are consequences, and this consequence is just taking it out. They didn't completely shut the whole thing down.
Yeah, but you should be ripping the Patriots. Like, the Patriots are the one who's
The word mutiny, and he's not ripping them anymore?
So what is... Hold on. What's the difference? How is this any better for an entity to curb your perspective of the team based on how they want you to see them?
They didn't curb his perspective. They curbed a word.
No, they're curbing our perspective, KJ, and that's why we rip them. Evan Lazar does not have a right, I guess I would say, or probably precedence to rip his employer. I agree. But we, as non-employees of that team, absolutely do, for them trying to craft a narrative that isn't true.
It's like, you know the movie Office Space, when dude discovers that the direct deposit hasn't been hitting. I mean, that's not funny, but you're still working there. But hey, you know, for some reason, my direct deposit, we'll cut you a check and be here in 5 business days. Let's go to Dave. Dave, thank you so much. Talking Patriots here, KJ and Shime on WEEI. Good Saturday to you.
Hey, guys. I just want to go back to your comment about comparing the Red Sox ownership and Patriot ownership. And I agree with that. I've been thinking that for a while. They're both squeezing each franchise as much as they can to get every dollar they can. The difference, though, is John Henry, I think, has completely lost interest in the Red Sox and baseball in general. He's trying to build up Fenway Sports Group, where Kraft and Jonathan Kraft, I think, are very much interested in the Patriots, and maybe a little too much where they want to control the pieces and, you know, play general manager. What do you guys think about that?
Dave, thanks for the call. Well, that was the plan when Belichick was gone, was to get control back, right? Was that, I mean, Sean, didn't you feel like when Robert Kraft parted ways with Bill Belichick, the whole idea was to then get control back of the team?
Yeah, I mean, that was ultimately the plan, but it feels like they have since that point, like, stepped backwards. Like, they have now allowed Elliot Wolf and Alex Van Pelt and Gerard Mayo to kind of do their own thing. Like, it doesn't feel like they are
but at least it's two
buttons.
I think for them it's like it's at least it's two other people they're talking to, sure, versus talking to one person about everything. All right, we'll continue the conversation. We've got to get into tomorrow's games. Plus, we got a game called Go Under, Go Over. That's still to come. The now regular hours of KJ and Sean till 6 o'clock. Second part starts next here on WEEI. The official hour of KJ and Shime here on WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Thank you so much for hanging out on your Saturday. That's Alex Van Pelt saying, look, the offensive line's inconsistency, I mean, there really is no consistency, right? It's like no sugar is in the tea or in the iced coffee. But realistically, when do you think Drake May should be in there? And why do you think he says that the offensive line's instability has nothing to do with Drake May getting in there?
So you mean outside of the fact that he should be playing this week?
Okay, well, I knew your answer was going to be week one.
Next week against Houston. It should be whatever the next week is, Drake May should be in there. And it's, KJ, I would like to direct you to a wonderful, wonderful sports writer by the name of Ian Harditz, works for Fantasy Labs now. Just indicates that it's wild to see Jacoby Brissett have the NFL's eighth highest average time to throw. So all of the smoke and mirrors of everybody telling you that it's all the offensive line's fault is a crock of crap. And actually, it's more to do with the offensive coordinator being bad and the quarterback holding the ball too long.
Wait, I have a question about that, right? Because my minor was in statistics involved. There are variables and then there are controls. You would have to tell me that Jacoby Brissett, to get that high of a rating, would have to be in an equality games like everybody else, right? So time to throw is a variable depending on the situation. So
So over through 4 weeks of the NFL season, he has the eighth highest time to throw. Yes, which means he's A, holding the ball, and B, the offensive line's giving him enough time to throw.
But is that what you're seeing?
Yes.
Can you count to two Mississippi?
Yes, you can. Multiple times a game, you can count over three.
You're watching the same Patriots game where I'm saying by the time you get to two Mississippi, Jacoby Brissett is either being hit or has gone down?
KJ, I went back and charted the Jets game. They use motion at the lowest level of the league. And Jacoby Brissett holds the ball longer than the majority of quarterbacks in the pocket.
So why would you hold the ball that long?
Because he doesn't want to turn it over.
Don't want to get laid out in the ground.
That's actually quite the opposite. Jacoby Brissett would rather take the hit and take the sack than throw an interception, which is equally as bad in most cases. The sack puts them in a negative play, and it creates adds onto themselves because their offense isn't explosive enough to push it down the field because their quarterback isn't good enough to do it.
If you're going to tell me that the offensive line is being scapegoated, I've got some property to sell you 50 miles east of Boston that's got mountain ranges in the middle.
I'm not telling you the offensive line is like one of the best in football. I'm just telling you they're better than people give them credit for.
They aren't pointing
the finger enough at Jacoby Brissett and Alex Van Pelt.
Okay, I can point the finger at Alex Van Pelt. I can agree with that because I think there are some things that you have to, like, every team
His
knows.
Offense
like,
is so vanilla.
Well, you do have a vanilla roster too, right? So,
yeah, like, but if you can use motion with a vanilla roster.
It fools nobody. You think they're going to come out of eight men in the box and they go, yeah, they can go motion all they want. This offensive line can't hold. They can't hold up a Lego block.
The best teams in football use motion more than 50% of the time.
Okay. Okay, but this is one of the worst teams. So you know where they would be on the side of that 50%?
The lower side.
Do you know what helps the offense is motion. I get that. It's a cheat code. They don't use.
Yeah, but if you still like, it's like this. If you have eight in the box and it's the Patriots and you say, who kept us up at night last night or during this week during, like, if these guys go in motion, who scares us the most? They probably go, that's a really good question. All right, keep eight in the box, maybe go one high safety and still run them in.
But that's the point. So if you're using motion enough, you can confuse a defense, right? So if you're putting Tyquan Thornton in motion, and I'm not saying Tyquan Thornton's very good because I don't think he is, but we all know he's fast. If you're putting Tyquan Thornton in a jet motion a bunch and you give him the ball a couple times, you know how you avoid that eight man in the box? By getting the ball out wide, and you don't have to worry about throwing it. You barely have to worry about snapping it. It's a snap.
And the line holds up in something like that.
You don't need to because you're going outside the tackle. That's the point. Like, the backside of the offensive line doesn't need to hold up because the ball's going in the opposite direction at a fast speed. However, this team insists on moving at a molasses pace, which creates an ability for a defense to just load the box and penetrate.
Considering there's been no run game this year. I'll tell you when I think Drake May should get in there. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. KJ and Shime, special edition. Let's go to Ben in the car. Ben, thanks so much for calling. Good Saturday to you.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm pretty much everything I've heard Shime talk about since he's come on, I totally agree with. We can go back to the Lazar part. I don't even want to get into it. But just as far as the piece about Jacoby, the time to throw does not have to do with him getting laid out. It's the fact that he's very inaccurate with how he throws the ball. And I think that he feels like he can't confidently get it to Pop because of Pop's size. Pop is open all the time. And it's not just him. Antonio Gibson's open at points. There's a lot of checkdowns that he'd be taking. And Jacoby just, I don't think, feels like he can confidently get there. The dude's so rattled. I mean, at this point, get Drake out there. He should be playing this week. And I agree. It should be Houston on the next game. Just get him out there. This is
Ben,
crap.
Let me ask you, why do you think he's rattled? In your opinion, why is he rattled? Yes.
So what it is, I agree with you. The thing is that what has happened is that Jacoby is not really built for the inept offense that Alex Van Pelt's putting out here. It might have been different in Cleveland because their line was different. And so, yes, he might be getting hit, but part of the reason that he's getting hit is that he is not taking the easy answers that he has. And I think additionally with that, he's not confident about getting it where he needs to get. And the more that he's getting hit, the more he's getting in his head. I mean, look at Jacoby. It's like literally looking at Mac Jones again. I mean, it's the same exact thing. Why are we keeping this trash on the field? And beyond that, again, I know Drake's young. We don't want him to regress. But the reality is, if dudes are going to take their lumps, Drake's a big boy, man. Put him out there and let's see what we got. I mean, this is a dumpster fire. And if not, then go get another veteran QB and put him out there. Put Tannehill out there. But this stuff with Jacoby's a mess.
Ben, thanks for the call.
That's
so,
a great call.
So, in other words, he says, yeah, he's probably shook because of the bad line in front of him.
Well, I just think he's bad. I don't think he's very good.
Well, that's why you get a one-year deal. You don't believe that there's a long-term future. And really, you know how contracts work in this industry. It's all entertainment. One-year deal is really 75% of the year, and then they spend about a quarter of the year or even less determining whether they're going to keep you. So if there's a game I think that Drake May gets in, I think it's the game in London against the Jags. It's not on the road. It's not at home. It's a neutral site, even though it's technically Jags. That doesn't really count. I think it gives him a safe landing space to be able to not worry about negative crowd noise or even the super positive crowd noise where it's like, yeah, you're pulling Jacoby out of the air, or yeah, he's in there. Let's just see, give him that full game. But I do believe, Shime, in these next two games, somehow Drake May should see somewhere about 12 minutes total of time.
I think that until Drake May starts a game, he will not see the field again.
I think that's a smart move.
I agree. No, don't get me wrong. I don't agree with it. I think you're right. But I think that's the play. I think what happened in the Jets game was an anomaly. I think that was something Jerod Mayo wanted to do. He wanted to get him out there. And then after that game, the GM and the offensive coordinator said, we can't do that. We got to stick to our quote-unquote plan.
That's what you believe? All right,
this
Lazar.
Is what I believe. Yeah, that's what I believe.
There you go.
I believe if Jerod Mayo wanted to, he would start Drake May this week. If he felt he could, he would start. I bet if you gave him a truth serum and said, who do you want to start at quarterback, he would say Drake May.
Because he's clearly said that Drake May outperformed him.
And that's
kind of
my
preseason.
Point. I feel like they've neutered him in a way. Them being the GM and the offensive coordinator.
Or maybe the leadership completely.
So I don't think so. Like, why would – I feel like Kraft saying, I chose this guy 5 years ago to be my head coach, and then neutering him, making the decision about the quarterback doesn't really line up in my view.
I've been in this industry a while. That makes a lot of sense. You're my guy. But here's what I don't want you to do. Like, I thought I was your guy.
I don't think that they would tell him, hey, draft a quarterback and then don't play him.
Well, like, drafting a quarterback was the mandatory move, right?
I agree with. I think everybody kind of was in lockstep with that. And I think Jerod Mayo has seen enough where he's like, yeah, we should be starting Drake May. But the two other guys whose jobs will be on the line if Drake May isn't good are saying, no, we're going to hold off on that.
Do you think there's a fear that if you get Drake May in there and he gets hurt, and let's say, God forbid, he goes down and you've got to put him on the IR. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks. And then it's Jacoby Brissett's team really for the rest of the year. Let's just call it that. That really by time you get to next year, you would say, wow, Drake May really didn't get those developmental minutes in last year. And so now you've got to take it cold. And how you feel about Alex Van Pelt, you would say, okay, do you try and go with another coordinator because you didn't like what you saw last year? Because you don't want to get into a situation where now it's like every year new coordinator.
Yeah, look, I don't buy into the idea that like he's just going to step on the field and get hurt. And okay, like if he plays,
I'm just saying it's a possibility with that line.
Sure. So like if he plays two games and then gets hurt, like at least I saw him in real game action and I know what I have. At least like know what direction we're going in, right? Like at least I know, is he competent? Is he capable? Is there room for growth there, or is he just outright bad? And like it's very similar to kind of the Joe Burrow situation in Cincinnati, right? He played four games, tears his ACL, he goes out, they're just bad the rest of the year. And what do you know? They draft Jamar Chase 5th overall. Like, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world.
What, the injury and then getting a great receiver? I mean, you never know how they recover. You never know how someone will recover.
I can't. This is football. It's a violent sport. I can't go into each day expecting my overall pick to get, like, some career-ending injury.
Though you've seen what your quarterback has taken in terms of hits. Here's what you mentioned about when you put him in the Jets game, I think the idea was to see, could he be competent out there? And I think we've seen that already. I think that's why it's like,
definitely,
okay, the competency is there. I think now because of David Andrews going down and you can't figure out who's the left tackle or the right tackle, or who's going to be on the right side or the left side, when you have all that inconsistency, I say at least give it a couple of weeks of what you have. David Andrews is not going to get re-injured, okay? These other, you know that Caden Wallace really hasn't been working out left side, right side, middle side, backside, front. It's just not been working out. So over these next 2 weeks, whatever's going to gel, because I do believe this, sometimes when your leader goes down, it forces like the other guys to try and run to that leadership vacuum and gets people to step up. So maybe you'll see a slight step up, and if you can see that over a couple of 2 weeks, then you say, okay, this is where I think you put Drake May in and let them all roll together from the season on out, because I think Jacoby is just mentally beat up right now. I think so part of what you say, I do agree with, that his skill set does not allow for the adjustment to make plays. It's like once you get shell-shocked, it's like in boxing, it's like once you've taken that shot that doesn't necessarily put you down, you get put down by a jab.
You get the yips.
Right, you get the yips. That's exactly like on that interception last week, I said, okay, we're now in yip mode.
Where because he had like two guys wide open. All he needed to do was move his eyes like 15 degrees to the right, and two receivers were just like wide open.
But the yips are kind of like if you've been, I mean, we're both married guys, but, you know, back in my day when I was single, it's like, you know, your body's here. Your mind may be over there with her, but your body's here with me. That's what's happening. What we see, his body isn't feeling. So if that's continuing to go, then you hope you don't see those mistakes. This is why the absence of the run game has been such a problem, because it was supposed to be so dependent on that these other things that are going. We could spend a whole segment on how the defense, it was supposed to be something better than what it is. And I think that's a bigger problem, because at least we knew the offense was bad. So you have all these other things. So you're like, gosh, my star running back has fumbled it four times in four games. You know, they're onto me onto the tight end thing, right? You're like, Hunter Henry is never going to see those type of receptions again, because that's what they're going to show is the first, they just bracket the tight end. Don't worry about anything else until we see something else. Even the running game, they're not seeing. So there's just so many things that would cause a quarterback to have the yips.
Yeah, you're right. And I don't disagree with that as much, but I think that it's imperative on Alex Van Pelt to help him. Like, I think there's a lot of things Alex Van Pelt could be doing to alleviate some of that pressure, and he's just not.
If he was a mobile quarterback, then yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, even with a statue guy like Jacoby Brissett, like, I think there's things Alex Van Pelt can be doing to help him. Like, would it be amazing? No, but it would be at least an improvement on what you have. Like, I think there are ways in which Alex Van Pelt can help this offense that it would at least, like, not look horrendous on a weekly basis. Like, it may not be good, but it won't, like, it's like inserting Andy Dalton in for the Carolina Panthers. Are they good? No, but they're better than what Bryce Young was.
The eyes to body correlation is much better, where with Bryce Young, well, one, it's like he's got Thomas Castellano issue going on there.
Toast.
Yeah.
And yeah, the size is a whole other aspect of it. But I'm just saying, like, that idea, right? Like, that just different injection alone makes the product at least marginally better. And I think Alex Van Pelt could do that if he, you know, I don't know, got a little bit creative with the offense.
KJ and Shime, Saturday here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Join the conversation. We're standing by to see if Swayman signs a deal.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Well, you know what? Probably, you know, it's going to come to a Monday night thing, but we're keeping an eye on that just in case that happens to be breaking news in the middle of the afternoon, though I don't think anybody's going to interrupt their lunch for all of that. It's time to trend with Thomas Crisafulli.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
KJ and Shime on your Saturday here on WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We're about 20 minutes away from go over, go under. Shime, some lines have already moved since last night. We'll look at the totals, and we'll go over, go under. You get to play one of KJ's games.
I'm in. I love games. I'm so into this.
Well, I don't know how much they're going to love tomorrow's game, Miami. That was Gerard Mayo saying, sleep on those guys. And here's what's crazy about tomorrow. With Snoop Huntley as their quarterback, he may be able to pull off the bare minimum and make this a game for Miami. I am a bit concerned because if I would use the word mutiny, I would say, could there be a mutiny if the Patriots lose to this team that's just absolutely depleted in Miami?
Yeah, there absolutely could be a mutiny if you lose to Miami. The line's back to Miami being favored by one, and I think that's the right line. Like, I would favor Miami in this game. I will be picking Miami in this game probably. What I've seen from the Patriots is not inspiring. I know the Dolphins have struggled mightily. Mike McDaniel has come back to earth a lot, but I think this is an opportunity for them. At least, I mean, they have so many offensive weapons. At some point, those guys have to win you a football game, and the Patriots seem like the perfect opponent to do that against.
Yeah, I think the line flipped because Mostert is going to be he's a full go along with Achane. So if you've got that going on, you're like, oh, God.
Lightning and thunder.
Right. And so this gets back to where I was kind of hinting about with the defense, right? The defense is 19th in terms of touchdowns and 10th in attempts because people feel like, I guess, they could throw on the Patriots. I mean, after all, when you've got the DK Metcalf play, you can always run. You know,
Aaron Rodgers and Geno Smith lit you up.
Right, exactly. So this is where there has been any type of comfortability with the defense so far for the Patriots has been in the run game. But if the run game exposes the front line and the back line of the guys who are kind of doing their own thing, allegedly, see the legal thing, allegedly, even though you just can't say allegedly, according to some of our portals, if the run game just chews up the Patriots This is what is embarrassing. And this goes to what you're talking about with the slow offense. Miami, who has an even slower offense, you would say, okay, with play action, Snoop Huntley could end up looking like Lamar Jackson out
there. He really
there.
Could. I mean, like, there is a chance that they run, like, the read option just on every single play.
Right.
And between Snoop Huntley, Raheem Mostert, and Devon Achan, they just gash you all over the place.
Right, and if you've got Tyreek Hill at the line, and if you don't have him pressed, or you're pressed on him because it looks like it's a run formation, and he gets that slant and takes off behind you,
you're screwed.
Like, one, I think we just described why the line completely flipped overnight.
100%. Like, I don't think the line should have ever been towards the Patriots. I think that was a mistake in the first place. But I just look
I think
at
it was because like, Mostert was a question mark. I think that's
sure.
what it came down to.
But that's exactly why it flipped. But like, I even think when Mostert was still a question mark, I don't think the Patriots should have been favored. Like, Miami has the better players all over the place. It's kind of unfair in a way. Like, if this Miami team is at full health, they would be, what, 7.5-point favorites?
Man, they would be one of those sneaking close to that 9, man.
Like, this team scored 70 points in a game a year ago.
Right.
And they're only 1-point favorites against the lowly New England Patriots. I don't know. Seems weird.
And we're not talking about they lost, like, a Hall of Fame-level quality quarterback.
They lost Tua.
They lost Tua. So when you're, like, just in the pantheon of the best quarterbacks in the league, Tua's not going to be in your top 5. I would argue he's probably not in your top 7. So if anything, like, Miami may see this as a get healthy game and see what they could do. And this is, like I said, there's so many things that could be embarrassing on so many levels. Like, okay, Mike McDaniel suddenly gets creative with Snoop Huntley back there. And now you're like, okay, because he's got a little bit of mobility, he can buy a little bit of time. And if all you need is a little bit of time, you've got 4 guys out there that can change everything for you in a minute.
We haven't even mentioned Jaylen Waddle yet.
That's what I'm saying, right? So it's, you know, like, there are two sides to it. It's like when I lived in Kansas City some years ago, that's when they had, like, the line of Hall of Fame, like Willie Rofe had been traded for, at Will Shields. They had Brian, I forgot his name, but they had all these guys, and they had Trent Green in a running game. So you're like, well, Trent Green isn't something that's...
Those days of Priest Holmes?
Right, with Priest Holmes and Larry Johnson as your number 2 back. So that they had no receivers. That sound like a familiar place to you, right? They had no receivers. They had a high-level defense, and they had it in a Hall of Fame-level tight end. So it was like, hey, you didn't have the great quarterback, but you just needed to have weapons in the right place. For them, it was the offensive line. Here for Miami, they're just like, okay, all we need to do is just create half a second of space, half a second, and it becomes dangerous. And if they gel together, then it's like, okay, watch out for Miami. I'm not going to say they're going to be on this great run, but they would end up being kind of the face of what you would think that at least the Patriots could have attempted to be. Just in the basic scheme of things.
And I think at the beginning of the season, that's what the Patriots wanted, right? They wanted to run the football aggressively, and they wanted to play defense. However, I think their secondary was really overrated in the offseason. I don't think they are as good as we may have hoped that they would be. I think they miss a guy like Devin McCourty in the back end.
Yeah, leadership, yeah.
Leadership and just like that free safety who kind of prevents all of those big plays.
Like if it's a shell cover too, that means stay at the shell.
Like Devin McCourty's there. I don't know that DK Metcalf catches that touchdown pass.
How about this?
I
don't know if Deebo Samuel catches that same pass on that same play.
Sure. Like it's just, and so like it's, you're missing a couple guys that I don't think we kind of, you know, took into account. Like I think Christian Gonzalez is good, but one guy does not a secondary make.
Right, especially if he's the one closest to the line, you want to know that his over the top coverage. And your Bill Preppers, I'm not gonna say he's nothing to sneeze at.
Sure,
but at the same time though, like this is a team that offensively can't move the ball, and if you're one of these other teams, you're like, you know what, we can shock and awe them from time to time with the pass game, and then know that man, we probably are going to get the ball right back. We could bust this open, right? The scariest thing I think that can happen to the Patriots is they get beat, they get burned on a long play. They go, let's say they go 5 and out, okay? And then they're back on the field now, and then there's the ground and pound with the play action game going on. And next thing you know, they're down 14, and you would say, you would almost feel like the game is over because there's just not enough oomph from this offense to be able to say, we can go toe-to-toe for you. It's like that Cincinnati game literally has to be the blueprint for everything they do moving forward. And even that Cincinnati game had a lot of mental mistakes and turnovers from Cincinnati, which is a team I think they're dealing with more mental situations than they are with talent, at least overall.
I think it's a lot. There's some similarities to last season in that, right, the offense just isn't productive enough to give the defense even a spell. So this defense could be pretty good, but because they're on the field so often, they're just gassed and they're too thin health-wise, right? They have so many injuries that there's just not enough depth to kind of overcome that exhaustion.
What if Evan Lazar, because I now think about the words that he was using, right? Like, what if he becomes like almost kind of like a Joan of Arc.
A martyr, right?
Like a bit of it, because all these things we're saying is like the defense is kind of out to lunch, and you know the term error repeater. Like usually that would get you benched, and we'll get into how Stevenson is not going to be starting tomorrow. We'll talk about that in about 30 minutes. But it's one of those situations where it's like, hey, what happened with DK Metcalf? You're like, okay, mistakes happen. But when it happens again 2 weeks later, you're saying, okay, someone's not taking in the information and making it part of their DNA. It's going in one ear and out the other. And that's why you were saying, like, if there's a Devin McCourty back there, you'd almost feel like something like that never happens again. But you would feel like, okay, well, it's not like Kyle Duggar got here yesterday, you know, so it shouldn't be happening again at all. Or if it is happening, that means the team is attempting to try and do it. It's an incomplete pass, or it's something they have to go short on the route. Something that has made that adjustment, but they see something there. And that's what kind of scares me about this Miami situation, where there's going to be so many people playing. There's going to be eight in the box virtually all game because of the two quarterbacks, right?
Yep.
But if Snoop Huntley just gets a flinch where that over-the-top safety is not paying attention and Tyreek Hill gets over top, you would say, what is the first thing you're taught about with Tyreek Hill? Is
just throwing, he's down there somewhere.
Don't let him get over the top. So that's my concern. If that becomes another error, quote, error repeater situation, then I would say, you know what, Lazar, you know, I'm so sorry you had to be one of those two guys in the background on the cross about all this thing. Hell yeah, there's a mutiny going on. There should be.
Like, at the same time, like, I feel like it was almost like a missed opportunity for the Patriots, right? In that, like, a team employee was saying that they were teetering on mutiny. Normally, in the past, with Patriots teams, wouldn't something like that become bulletin board material for the guys in the locker room? Yeah. So instead of pulling it down, like, Jerod Mayo should have grabbed that, slapped that at the front of the locker room, and been like, this is what people in our own building are saying about us right now, and used that to inspire these guys, and instead I feel like they're running from it.
Yeah, well, maybe Mayo isn't, because, you know, if you're saying it's bulletin board material, I would say nobody on this team has the ability to kind of reach up to the bulletin board just yet. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but that should be Mayo's job, right? Like, I think that was one of the positives about his hire in the first place, was that he was basically a player still. Like, he connected so well with these guys that, like, he should be the one. Like, back like when Bill did it with
the Philadelphia Eagles parade. Or like, above Mayo. That. Or above Mayo that says, hey, this is a non-football issue that we will address. I don't think Mayo went and said, hey, you need to address this.
No,
you know,
I
take
don't think
it down
he did either,
right,
but I'm,
right.
I'm saying, like, he missed an opportunity there to grab it and show his players and be like, guys, like, people don't believe in us. Like, they think we're against each other. Like, let's prove them wrong. And instead, like, the whole organization is just kind of, I feel like it's a missed opportunity.
Well, maybe the edict is prove it on the field. And if you don't prove it on the field, I think you're going to start seeing some people just get the heave-ho. I think Jalen Reagor was kind of a little precursor of, if you think you're greater than this situation, then we'll say, great, go. You're on a team that's bad. Like, that's, think about this. Who
that
on
sounds
this team,
nice, but how are they going to cut people? Like, they don't have bodies on the roster as it is.
Well, I'll put it this way. If the bodies are not very well, I mean, you can always find another not very well body. You know what I mean? Like, because,
sure, but like there are
especially if they're not contributing.
But there are, like, available offensive linemen out there who have done it in the league and done it for periods of time and maybe a little bit older, but are at least experienced at the position that the Patriots need, and they haven't gone and gotten them. So, like,
or they've said no, right? That's the other part. Or they've said no.
Well, yeah, but, like, if they want a job, they'd take a job. You know what I mean? Like a job's a job kind of thing. Like there's enough guys out there that you could be banging down doors and like one of them would come play. I read through the list on Thursday with Fitzy. There's a million of them.
Watch this. Tomorrow you get offered a job to go do sports talk radio in Des Moines, Iowa. Do you take it?
Yeah, I'm not a free agent.
Well, wait, no.
And that's the point. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, these guys are free agents that don't have jobs. If I didn't have a job, yeah, you're damn right, I'd go do sports talk radio in Des Moines, Iowa. Like, I need a job.
Must have family there. Yeah, well, no, but yeah, just, well,
you need
but
a
that's
job.
The other part of it. The other part of it, though, is, and this is you have to kind of factor in. It's like, hey, if these guys are comfortable with their life and the pay that they've gotten and know what they're going to take and go through, they might say, sure, I'm just going to wait for a better situation, right? That it's not like, hey, they have a breakdown on their check of how much it breaks down per hour. It's just kind of like they're more looking like how much in tax we're taking. So, again, I think that's the other part is who is going to come? And
but like,
somebody
there's
has to,
so
somebody...
many free agent veteran linemen out there. Like, there's so many. Like, one of them has to want a job. Like, there's a million.
Or, or all of them feel like they don't need this job.
But, like, clearly they're not getting a job anywhere else. Like, why wouldn't, if you need a job and you want a job,
I understand. I understand the thought processes, but when you're one of these players that say, you know what? If I go to a bad situation and it looks bad and I've already been in a bad, I'm on the outsides, there's no way to prove myself to get to somewhere else. I might just wait to go to free agent camp next year or get picked up by one of these established teams where I can kind of blend in as one of the linemen where I'm not dependent on to be like, hey, we just got you. Are you ready to roll? We depend on you. So that's the other part of it is what's the expectation for what you're going to do, and can you live up to that expectation, considering other teams don't feel like you could have lived up to the expectations on the teams that had you. So
sure,
sometimes you just
like
wait
a guy,
that out.
Like, just one in particular, right? Like, so there's a guy like Billy Price, who is currently a free agent. He was a first-round pick by the Cincinnati Bengals 5 years ago, and currently doesn't have a job. He just played 15 games for the Giants 2 years ago. He started 11 games for Arizona last year. He's 26. Like, this guy needs a or 29. A job, wants a job. He clearly does not have. I mean, he made like $200,000 last year. The guy needs a job. You need a center. Instead, you're going to start an undrafted rookie free agent out of Louisville. Like, I'd rather go get a former first round pick who might have some, you know, some
Robert Leatherwood issues.
Yeah, there might be some
he
bumps.
Might have Leatherwood syndrome, you know.
Yeah, but there might be some bumps, but like, at least he's played the position in the NFL successfully at one point.
Well, but this is how this industry works, whether it's, and it's because it's all entertainment. It's like, well, if someone doesn't want you, then why would I want you?
Yeah, now, but like, NFL job. There's only your position, there's only 32 of them. Like,
right.
If a team wants you, you go play.
Right, but again, if nobody else wants you, why do I want you? Look, I'm not saying
because
it's the
I
right
don't
thought
have the
process.
Because I'm the Patriots and I don't have bodies.
But they did
I'm
go get a body.
Instead, I'm starting Billy Hudson, an undrafted rookie free agent out of Louisville. That's kind of my point.
Okay, well, then you could pay Billy from Louisville less than the guy who's sitting on the couch right now. Like,
so you pay an extra $100,000 and you get a guy with 5 years of NFL experience.
Might affect the stack machine right there. I'm joking, but seriously, though, I think it's one of those situations where they probably believe if other people don't want you and whatever the book may be around the league, there's a reason why someone hasn't gotten you. They know you're there,
but
they haven't gotten
you. You can go, you have guys that can go figure that out.
Oh no, you can just talk to people.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
What,
that too. You can.
What happened with this guy? What was he like in the locker room? What was his deficiencies? What is his? You know, what is he good at? What is his weakness? What is his distractions off the field, right?
And I understand a guy like David Bakhtiari, right? Currently a free agent. Like, I understand him not wanting to come to New England. Like, he probably wants to own, like, if he's going to come back, he's made his career. If he wants to come back, it's probably only going to be for a
playoff.
Well,
but he's probably the guy that the Patriots have probably tried to sniff around to see if he's available because we know what he can provide. We know what he can probably provide even leadership that this team needs.
Sure, but like, go get somebody like Cam Irving, who's been in, he's 32, he's been in the league for like 8 years. He's a tackle out there. He last played for the New Orleans Saints. He's going to cost you less than $1 million, and like, perfect.
Now the price is going up on the other guy, right?
At least he's played left tackle. Like, you tried to start Caden Wallace, who couldn't even play left tackle on his own college team in the NFL at left tackle. Like, at least get a guy who's played the position, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, this is where it gets to, in situations like this, and I use the Baltimore Ravens as an example. Clearly, you don't have a Lamar Jackson on the team.
Sure.
But if you know these, you have these type of deficiencies, and this goes to what type of veteran quarterback should they have gone and gotten? Maybe you go get a more mobile veteran quarterback. You see what I'm saying? Because if
like,
you're going to
why didn't you go get Snoop Huntley? He was a Pro Bowler at one point.
Right. Or maybe did you get into the conversation about maybe bringing Tyrod Taylor in? You know,
yeah,
so
great point.
You see what I'm saying? So if you know you're deficient, because what's happened over time with the game, and this even goes down to the high school level, right? Mm-hmm. Because the way the quarterback position is played, what the deficiency has been with the offensive linemen, right? 100%. Like now the offensive line, you don't need the big Cornhusker kid from Nebraska anymore to
you like need kids who can move.
Right, you need everybody can move, and plus now your defensive linemen are just as fast as your linebackers. Mm-hmm. I mean, as fast as your running backs. So now, and it, like even if you look at the last draft, there were 10 more offensive linemen taken in the entire draft than all the rounds for receivers taken, right? So that tells you
how just looking for players.
They're just like it's just constantly flipping a coin, see what sticks.
I think a lot of it isn't sticking. I think a lot of that too stems from the 7-on-7 that's getting played at such a young age, where it's like all the best athletes anymore aren't playing offensive line. Like none of them are. They're all playing corner, receiver, running back, quarterback, and now defensive end.
And the tight end's going out on the 7-on-7. Right, he's really the only old lineman. You know, so I think the other part of it is. Is look, you can only go by what's available and what's in the league. If like San Francisco doesn't have a high rated line outside of Trent Williams, and he's kind of like the anomaly on that line.
I don't know. Dominic Pooney's pretty good. He's a good rookie.
I'll put it this way: considering the what they get as a result is better than their line. Where if you look at the Chiefs, they really do depend on having an above average line because they, you know, like they're running.
This is kind of my point with Alex Van Pelt, right? Like Shanahan schemes it up in a way where the offensive line is like, I just need guys who can like do what I tell them to do. Whereas with Andy Reid's offense, it's like, all right, I need guys who can just, I don't know, protect Patrick Mahomes for like 7 seconds. I just need to protect Patrick Mahomes at all costs. So like, that's kind of where I go back to. Alex Van Pelt should be doing things like Kyle Shanahan does in a way that helps his offense, where it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback or who's playing offensive line. I'm scheming it up in a way where we can still run the football no matter what.
Well, that's why the whole mobility. I don't want to get into the Joe Milton conversation because I think it wouldn't be genuine. But it's almost at the same time.
Drake May is mobile. Like Drake May can do. I mean, he had like 700 yards rushing in college. He had like 17 rushing touchdowns in college. Like
these bodies are much different, brother. Much different. And if you saw ACC football, I mean, did you see ACC football today? Virginia versus Boston College. I mean, my goodness. I wonder if the lilac painting was going to dry quicker than what I was seeing in terms of. You know, offense. Now,
athletes are athletes. They can, like, Drake May can run. Like, it's not like Lamar Jackson or Anthony Richardson or Jalen Hurts level running, but, like, he can move. It's like two steps down from Josh Allen.
We don't know that just yet.
I know that. I know that for a fact. Like, there's plenty of tape and combine stat, like, numbers and everything. Like, you know Drake May can run.
Yeah,
so it's a matter of just getting him out there.
I'm just concerned about some of the ACC competition he played against last year, that this is probably why you're seeing that seems to be kind of this slow walk.
Yeah, but it's not like every good NFL quarterback comes from the SEC.
Well, I'm not saying, but I'll put it this way. At least you're seeing better defenses if you play in the SEC. So you could be.
Yeah, how'd that work for Mac Jones? Like, he got his ass kicked after his rookie year.
Yeah, but Mac Jones was on the good SEC team. I mean, he's pretty much seeing his one good game.
How about Blaine Gabbert? Like, he sucked and came out of Missouri.
Missouri is kind of like the stepchild of the SEC. I'm talking about like a Jaden Daniels where you're like, okay, this is a guy who has to see more, do more. Has weapons that transfer to the league. Mac Jones had that as well. So it's all about really the mobility. If you have if you want to use that, okay. Jalen Hurts, Tua, mobility.
Like Caleb Williams didn't play against the SEC, and I know for a fact Caleb Williams will be good. Like,
yeah, but is Caleb Williams struggling right now with the speed of the game a little bit?
No, he's struggling because his offensive line is.
Wait. Is he struggling Is he struggling with the game speed a little bit right now?
No, I don't think he is anymore.
I think he is.
I think he might have been in week one. He looked a little jumpy, but since then, he actually looks good. Like, I don't think what's happened in Chicago has been Caleb Williams' fault.
It's not all his fault. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm just saying that, you know, the transfer from the college game to the pro game, a lot of it
took him like two games, and I think he's fine. Like, I think he's good.
That's four games. So it's 50% you were off, now 50% you're on, he's back. I still say the verdict is going to be out for the year.
I don't think it's 50 on, like 50 off 50. No, I think there's been growth game after game. Like, I don't think it's a, oh yeah, he's good, oh yeah, he's not good. Like, I don't think it's that black and white. Like, I think it's been a gradual progression for him. In week one, you saw it, he was jumpy. In week two, he was much more comfortable. Were there mistakes? Yeah, but he was getting better. And then I thought he was really good in week three, and then I thought he was really, really good in week four. Like, and I think this week it could be even better against the Panthers, who stink.
All right, so real quick, of the three top quarterbacks taken in the draft last year, Daniels, Williams, Drake May, long term, give them to me how you see them.
Long term, I would say I would still put Caleb number one. I would still put Drake number two, and then I'd put Jaden number three still. Like, that's how I had them coming out of the draft. That's how I'd still have them. And I think Jaden's been a lot of fun. He's been awesome. Don't get me wrong. He has been way better in the NFL than I thought he would be. But longevity-wise, I'm just not convinced that he's going to be able to stay healthy for his career just because he runs around like a demolition car derby half the time.
Yeah,
and
see,
that scares the crap out of me.
I would say Jaden one, Drake two, Caleb three. I think that's how it plays out. So, look, we're up against the break. When we come back, we'll go over, we'll go under. It's KJ and Shime on your Saturday here on WEEI. Thanks so much for hanging out. KJ and Shime on WEEI, thank you so much for hanging out for a special edition. It usually would be either myself in Lions or by myself here after post-game of BC, where BC lost. I should probably be playing a little flugelhorn of the death, because with two losses in the ACC, gosh.
I am going to have two very sad co-hosts tomorrow Monday morning.
But maybe you tell them this. Did they really think it was anything? It was a sexy month. It was like a summer love.
Yeah,
we had an exciting July, and that's it.
It's also the first, you know, month and a half of Bill O'Brien's tenure at BC. So, but I think it was a a moment of hope for them. They were like, oh, nice, our college football team's actually going to be good.
Just because she kissed you on the boardwalk doesn't mean she was going to be your wife. It's a month and a half of love. So Forbes has released its 400 wealthiest people in America.
Oh boy.
Do you realize 11 of them live in Massachusetts? 11 of them.
That doesn't shock me.
Yeah, you know, but here's the crazy thing is the difference between Robert Kraft, who's like 81st, and John Henry is at 216. You don't think someone's stewing a little bit, that big of a difference? You know, like I could see if like one was 81 and the other one was like 100, it's relative, but like one's 81 and the other's 216th. Like, wouldn't you be in your chest? Go ahead.
If he was really kind of upset about it, though, wouldn't you think he'd actually spend on the Red Sox team and win more championships and make himself feel better?
Because that might be a bad spend right there. You
know what I mean? instead, he's just buying franchises across the globe. He has what? He has Liverpool. He has Fenway Group.
That's what makes me mad. It's like I'm spending money around the world, and I'm 100. Spots behind Kraft?
The evaluation of a football team.
Well, that's the other part of it too. I think Kraft, they have him at $11.8 billion. So he's saving a lot of money this year, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think recently, like, the Miami Dolphins, because the NFL is now allowing private investors in franchises, and the Dolphins just got an investor, and they got an investor where the valuation of the franchise is somewhere like north of $10 billion.
Yeah, because to try and buy him now, it's like, gosh, I'm trying to think.
It's like the real estate market. It's just like insanely inflated.
I'm trying to remember when, because the crazy thing, especially with NFL teams, like really Robert Kraft is like probably one of the last owners to get a franchise at a number that doesn't sound crazy. What was like $300 million, like somewhere around $300 million for the Patriots?
Something like that, yeah.
Right, like, you know, like I remember the Cowboys were like one, it was like $188 million. I do remember that when I was younger, but you know, you like even like here's the thing: when you go back, like the Giants, you know how much they paid for the Giants, like originally, somewhere like around $30,000.
Oh well, like I just look at David Tepper just bought the Panthers for $2.275 billion 5 years ago.
But see, that's going to happen because he's one of the newer buyers, right? Like,
yeah, no, I just think it's like the way the prices have just skyrocketed in the last, say, 20 years, 30 years.
I want to say when I was in college when the Panthers and Jaguars came in the league at the same time, I believe. Like, I think it's like 95, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. I think the valuation of those teams were about like $500 million at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, I think Tepper actually kind of got a deal the way that teams are going. Like, you can never go on like how the team is performing on the field. You really have to go like how the Cowboys are going. Like probably the biggest thing is how the Patriots, the dynasty, what has really done has pushed them past the Giants. It always used to be Cowboys 1, Giants 2, the former Redskins 3. Now it's Cowboys 1, Patriots 2. I mean, still a little bit of a distance. The Bears used to be in that top three as well. So, like, the Patriots are like the new kids on the block when it comes to these high valuations of teams.
Sure.
But if you're Henry, you're like, I have the damn Red Sox and Liverpool, and I'm like 100 spots behind Kraft. Look, I like having conversations like this because I, too, am shooting for that type of wealth. I don't know about you, Sean. Like, I'm not going to talk about being poor. I'm going to talk about wealth because what you talk about is what you end up being about.
100%. Yeah. Oh, trust me. I would love to be super wealthy like yourself. I have aspirations one day. You know, it's going to take quite a long time, but you never know.
Here's a powerful statement. I am wealthy. That's how you're supposed to do it. You say, I am wealthy.
You
have to. Because, like, look, if I finish 500th on that Forbes list, the 400, I'm still doing well. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah,
there you go. So I am wealthy. And maybe some of this will help you with your bets this weekend. It's time for...
Sorry, hit the wrong button.
Oh, there. Like, all of us are working together for, like, the first and a half time.
That's okay.
It's the magic. It's like...
Do you have any idea what the odds are? Shoot, it's got to be in the millions.
One dog goes one way. We go under. The dog goes the other way. One dog goes one way. We go under. The dog goes the other way.
All right, pretty cut and dry, Shime. I'll give you the game, the points total. You give me the over, the under. If we both agree, but the producer disagrees, you may hear a challenge. Ready?
Okay.
Jets-Vikings total at 40.5. Over, under?
Over.
Jets-Vikings for me, I would say I'm going to take the over as well. Oh, a challenge?
I don't want to do it on the first one, KJ, but both teams on the spread so far for the over-under this so far this season have only hit it once, and I think the Jets are just an awful, awful offense, and I don't see the Vikings hanging 40 themselves in the Jets.
So, this is where I think you have to be careful with numbers like that, Tom. This is what I would suggest is I would look at the past games by the teams, and for me, Minnesota has hit this number or higher 3 out of the 4 games this season, I believe. I think they've hit exactly 40, 41, and then 60 their last 3 games. It was really only week 1 that they didn't. Minnesota's offense is awesome. I love their ability to get after it against the Jets. I think this point, and London games are always weird. So
yeah,
I always
early.
Go over here.
Okay, so let's get to some of the key games because we're up against the break. Ravens-Bengals. Yesterday it was 49.5. That number's come down to 48.5. Over, under?
I'll go under. Total's too high for me.
I'm going to take the under as well because once you start getting into the high, once you start getting close to 50, I think you're like playing with fire.
Agreed.
All right. Dolphins-Patriots. Yesterday it was 36. Now it's down to 35.5. Over, under?
KJ, this number is still not low enough for me. I'll go under 35.5.
Hey, if you want to give me 24, I'm still taking the under, right? So, yeah, this might be one of those 17, you know, or 14-10 games or 14-9 games. It's not going to be pretty at all. Here's another big one. Cardinals 49ers. Yesterday it was 50. It's come down to 49.5. What are you thinking? Over or under?
This one I'm going to go over. The Cardinals defense is bad, but their offense is going to have to be good to keep up. I'm going to go over 49.5.
See, I'm going to go under. I like this trend of it moving down because I think the 49ers, they realize that, hey, this is a conference game. The Cardinals may play them a little bit tougher. I think once 49ers were able to full throttle on the Patriots last week, I think the Cardinals have enough offensive weapons to kind of sneak that over. That over to kind of hit. Did I just say I take the under and I said over?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
It happens.
Yeah, and so Giants, Seahawks, 43.5 yesterday, now down to 42.5. What do you like, over under?
Yeah, I'm going to go over in this one. The Seahawks defense is banged up, but their offense is pretty good. Giants have looked okay last couple weeks. Give me the over.
Yeah, I like the over as well. I like what Geno Smith is doing. I thought defenses would be able to confuse him, but he's been able to use his receivers.
He's been great.
and both of his running backs in the passing game as well. All right, final hour, KJ and Shime here next here on WEEI. Thanks for hanging out.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.